I preach here, the moderator was Ehud, and now he's with the Lord. It's hard to accept certain disaster in our eyes that happened, took away the one that we love. The past few days, questions keep on being asked, why and why. Yesterday we had a long but very meaningful memorial service for our brother. At the end of it, there's an old gentleman from Mandarin congregation. I never saw him before. He came to me, he said, "Pastor Trang, well, I'm really sorry that we lost Ehud." Because I never saw him, I asked him, "Do you know him?" He said, "Yes. Every Sunday," he said, "my daughter dropped me off at church. At the end of the church, it was Ehud who drove me home." And he said, "Last Sunday, after service, Ehud drove me home and then dropped me off. And then he told me that he had to come back to play ping pong table. So he came back, but we lost him." I said, "Are you a Christian?" He said, "Yes, I am. I accept Christ a year ago. But after yesterday, after today," my faith was strengthened. I want to be baptized." It's very strange to see a life being taken away, and this gentleman, he said, My faith was strengthened because I can see life can be so beautiful. It's difficult. Last Sunday afternoon, pastors left. I stayed behind because it was a ping pong table tournament. I came to watch, and then I saw Ehud. He greeted me at a door with a pad. He said, "Pastor Trent, why don't you play?" I said, "Well, no, I don't want to play. How can I play with these kind of dresses?" And he asked me the same thing the day before in the Dragon Boat Festival. He came to me proudly present his T-shirt with a Dragon Boat picture. He said, "Pastor Trent, you want to join us?" I said, "Well, I hope I can. But if I join you, the whole boat cannot live where it was." So he was laughing, and he took a picture with me. It was difficult. It had been a long time. I never cried before like that. The past Monday, I woke up. It seems there was a stone on my chest. I said, "God, why?" And then when I quiet down in front of him, he spoke to me with Psalm 90. And his words comfort my heart. Not only that, I was lift up again. I can continue to serve, not because I have an answer to that question, but because he's God. So may I present to you the message from Psalm 90. If you have a Bible, will you please open it? I'm going to read you the whole Psalm. Psalm 90, a prayer of Moses, the man of God. Moses wrote this psalm when he was at his old age. At least in our concept, he was near 80. A lot of biblical scholars believe that. He wrote this: "Lord, you have been our dwelling place throughout all generations. Before the mountains were born, or you brought forth the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. You turn men back to dust, saying, 'Return to dust, O sons of men.' For 1,000 years in your sight are like a day that has just gone by, or like a watch in the night. You sweep men away in the sleep of death. They are like the new grass of the morning, though in the morning it springs up new, but evening is dry and withered. We are consumed by your anger and terrified by your indignation. You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your presence. All our days pass away under your wrath. We finish our years with a moan. The length of our days is 70 years or 80 if we have the strength. Yet their span is trouble and sorrow, for they quickly pass and we fly away. Who knows the power of your anger? For your wrath is as great as the fear that steals you. Teach us to number our days aright, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Reign, O Lord, how long will it be? Have compassion on your servants. Satisfy us in the morning with your unfailing love, that we may sing for you for joy and be glad all our days. Make us glad for as many days as you have afflicted us, for as many years as we have seen trouble. May your deeds be shown to your servants, your splendor to their children. May the favor of the Lord our God rest upon us. Establish the work of our hands for us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. May we pray. Father God, we lift up this moment in your hand. May the Holy Spirit speak through your word to our hearts. May your comfort and peace, and also, Lord, we pray that you give us wisdom how to number our days. We lift up this moment in your hand. Be with us, Lord. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Psalm 90 is a realization of life that Moses experienced, and he shared with people through a prayer. Psalm 90 was a psalm of his prayer to God. It can be divided into three sections. The first one is verse 1 and 2. He realized that in his life, he has been had a dwelling place. The word is a refuge. He can find a refuge in God himself. And then he realized that before the whole universe was created, God is God. You are God. And then a section, the second portion of it is from verse 3 to 11. It's, Moses was describing in front of God through his prayer that his realization what life is ought to be. Life is like that. He used some examples, very vivid, very concrete examples to describe how our lives like that. And the last section is prayer, including two things, verse 12 to 17. First of all, he prayed that God teach us how to number our days correctly, right? Number our days correctly, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. And then he described how God's unfailing love is the one what he had been longing for. He prayed that God's deed be shown to him, to his servants. And then the last thing he prayed that God establish the work of our hands for us. And he repeat again, yes, establish the work of our hands. Translating to this English, he was praying that God make all we are doing as we are still living stay concretely, stay as we are living this world. So the first section, it was a prayer. He said, God, you have been our dwelling place throughout all generations. Before the mountains were born, or you brought forth the earth and the world from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. We all know that Moses live a life that can be divided into three periods of time. Every period is 40 years, right? The first period of time, he lived as the princess of Egypt. He had all the things that people at his time wanted: power, authority, knowledge, all the opportunities he could have. And then, because he tried to fix some injustice in society, and accidentally, he killed a person. So he ran as a fugitive to the wilderness of Midian, and he spent 40 years living like a shepherd. It means that he did live the highest life in that time society, and then he lived so low as the lowest occupation ever person can get at his moment. And he also realized that life is not simple. One moment, it seems that you get everything. The next moment, you may lose it in 1 second. Nothing he could hold on to forever. Then he come upon a conclusion. Say, God, I know only you are God. This recognition is so important for Moses. He put in the beginning of his prayer, say, God, I know, as I walk through the all my life, all the experiences I encounter, all the gains and loss I experience, Father, you are my hiding place. You are my dwelling place. You are my refuge. You are the shelter that I can hide during the time of storm. I don't know why the past few days have been rainy. Every morning we woke up, we saw the gray skies. Of course, we love sunny days. We love the sunshine upon us. But we can avoid those gray days just like this. No matter what, Moses shared his conviction, said, life is like that. Sometimes everything was smoothly, all of a sudden, you lose everything. Will that be a problem? Yes, as human beings, we have problems. We work so hard, or even the one we love so much, all in a sudden, suddenly, it's gone. But you know, all through this, Moses said, you are God. If there's no God, our life will be without hope. You want justice, you are fair, nothing's fair. Nothing is justice. Of course, sometimes you see, oh, you know, why I did all this and this is what I got. That's life. And sometimes you realize that you are trying your best to gain everything, and the society, everything can be taken away all in a sudden. Do we have a God? Do we know that He's God? Once I attend a retreat, I love to visit those souvenir stores. Not because I want to buy something. Every time I go, I want to get a little gift for my wife. A gift for no reason. That's more important than birthday gift. So that time I walked around the souvenir. I couldn't find anything I think she would like. So I walked through the door. I saw some strange cups. The shape was strange, but struck me was what it was written on it. God is my helper. Yeah, yes, God is our helper. Very biblical, right? God is my helper. We believe God is helping us. But brothers and sisters, when I didn't buy the cup because it can be interpreted the other way. You know, struck me is, this is what our concept today, God is my helper. I come to God, God, I want this, I want that, I want that, I want that. And God, you help me out. If God didn't do what we want to, we have power. If this society has been teaching us that we are the center, this is how I look at things, this is what I think, this is what I want. If I didn't get it, well, I will have a problem. Moses realized that life is not a place that you can always get or hold on to what you can. Things can be taken away all in a sudden. Year 2000, I started a church planting in New Jersey. I planted a church there. It was so hard work. I worked 6 hours a day. I worked 7 days a week until one day my wife said, Calvin. Oh, no, she didn't call me Calvin. She said, Pastor Trent, can I make an appointment with you? Every time my wife called me Pastor Trent, I know I'm in serious problem. And I said, sure, my dear, what can you tell me? Why don't you quit? I said, what? The new church is growing. Why don't we quit? You know, we just registered to be a separate independent church, and from one fellowship, small group, now we have 11, so busy, forming so many. He said, no, you should quit. I said, why? You are like a machine. I saw you lost sense of that God is the one making things happen, not you. Why don't you stop? I say, yeah, dear, you're right. So I took time off. I went to South Carolina. At that time, I live in New York. I never know there's a state called South Carolina. And a place called Columbia, I thought it's Central South America. So I went there. My old friend, he was my high school kid, mate, and then we went to seminary together. I haven't seen him for 37 years. He was a professor in Columbia Biblical Seminary, CIU. And then he picked me up. He told me, he said, Calvin, let me show you around the campus. And then it was dark, it was at night. And then he pointed to one place. He said, that place is the central power station of the whole seminary. The CIU is big, huge, on a hilltop. And they have their own police, they have power station, everything, broadcasting station there too. So the next morning, I went to classes, and then went during the break. In the afternoon, it has a few hours of break. I said, I want to see their power station. I walked there, followed what he showed me the night before. It was a small path walking around and around, and then come to a building. It didn't seem like a power station to me. But on the type we said, it says, draw near to God. And then I walked a narrow stairway up there, and there were a few rooms. I walked into one of those. There was a mattress on the floor, a small table in front of the window, and there was an open Bible up there. When I knelt down and looked at it, it was suddenly, it was sunshine before I entered that building. Suddenly it was dark, and then rain and storm pouring in. And then I looked at the Bible, Psalm 46, be still and know that I am God. A lot of times we were so occupied by things changing, happening around us, good or bad. Moses took us back to the Creator, the one who gave us life, his God. Not only that, the next section, from verse 3 to 11, Moses described our life. Our life is just like what? He said, just like a sleep, like a dream. If you interpret the Hebrew word, it's pointing to a dream. Do you ever dream? Do you know that all the nightmares last very long and the good dreams end really quick? Many times I was hungry, most likely before I went to bed, I dreamed of I'm eating a fish. But before the food in my mouth, I start the first bite, I woke up. And I had tried so hard to fall back to sleep so I can continue to finish the dish. I couldn't. It was like a dream. You know, there's a Chinese story, traditional old one, describe a guy, he walked to, you know, at that time, the government select the system selected by test. If you pass the test, they will give you a different government job. He was on his way to attend the test, and he sat underneath a tree and he fell asleep. And then he realized that he came to a very, you know, beautiful city, and he met the princess. And then the princess fell in love with him, and he became the husband, and they had baby, blah, 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 blah. And then suddenly, you know, his wife died. He was crying, and then he realized he woke up. He was still under the tree. It was just like a dream. And then he also says, God will sweep us away in the sleep of death, just like the castles built on near on the sand. The sand castle you build near the beaches. My house in Vietnam used to be by the seashore. So every time my sister, we have six brothers and sisters, she took us to a beach. And my mom said, no kids allowed in the water. So we cannot touch the water. You know what we did? We built castles, competing building whose castle is biggest. I never cooperate with my sisters. I think their castles are, yeah. Mine is the best. I built big castles. And I was, you know, boasting about how great my castles. And then suddenly we heard every time my mom called, come back, wash your hands and eat. You know what? No matter how big your castle is, we had to give up. And not only that, we were washing our hands. We saw the, you know, evening sunset, the water came on creeping in and wash everything away. So when I read this, my heart was, is that our life? No matter what you gain, suddenly sweep away. That's the, you know, and then Moses realized that we are consumed by your anger and his wrath. When we live on this world, why so quick and empty? Because the whole world, the sinful world, is under God's wrath. Have you seen how the whole society and today's world is moving? Every time I spend money, I look at the money, I still old style. I seldom use my credit cards because credit cards are out of control. So I like to spend cash. You know, every US dollar says, you know, on it, it says, in God we trust, right? I often ask, is that true? Are we still trusting God? The whole world is going the other direction. And Moses realized that we are living in this world, we are under his wrath. He was praying that God restore my fear of you. He restore my fear of you while I'm still living here. It's not just the non-Christians. Even church, God's church, even Christians, we have to ask ourselves what we say, what we do, what decisions we are making. Do we consider God is there? You know, there's an Old Testament character. His name is Jacob. Remember him? Jacob. I love him because he knew so many tricks. He liked to grab things, right? No matter what, as long as he got what he wanted, he would do it. But you know, after he cheated his brother, especially his father, he realized that he had to run away. He ran to a place and he was so tired, he fell asleep. He dreamed. In the Old Testament time, God spoke to people through dreams. He dreamed of a ladder from ground up to the heaven, and God's messenger come ascending and descending on it, and God was standing there. And when Jacob looked up, he said, oh, wow, I did not realize God is really here. Young people, I envy your young age. Once upon a time, I was young too. But we used to have so many dreams. You know, all these dreams can have one thing. You have asked a question, are these dreams leading away from the belief that God has a purpose in our lives? If we are going after what we want, very soon you'll realize that time passes. So that was the first, you know, from verse 12 to 17. Well, first prayer, Moses asked God, God, teach me how to number my days. Once I went to a post office to mail a letter, I saw an old gentleman standing near the entrance of post office. As I recognized, his jacket has a medal on it. So I stopped by, asked him, sir, may I ask, what this medal represent? He said, oh, I'm glad you asked. It represent D-Day. Do you know, have you heard of D-Day? The Second World War, the Allies invade Europe. I mean, it should not be invade. They are taking back Europe from the Nazis. He was participating in the war, and he got the medal. Then I heard him talk about, you know, he was a landing craft, he was machine gunner, he was shooting, and oh, what he went through. Finally, I said, thank you for your story. I have to go now. I have to work. I hope I can see you, bump into you again. I want to listen to your story. He said, young man, don't go. I love him. He called me young man. And then you know what? He took out, have you seen the $2 US bills? He took out the whole bunch of it. He said, I have made a decision. Anybody ask me about this medal, I give him $2. So he paid $2 to me. I said, when I see this dollar, I remember you. You have contributed a lot for freedom of our country. Thank you. So he left. I was holding a $2 bill. You know, recently I realized that very soon I may have to get some $2 bill too. Because when you get old, nobody wants to listen to you. You may have to pay people to listen to your life story. Am I right? Yeah. You know, don't laugh, because very soon you'll be prepared for $2 bill too. But you know what? I think one thing is very true. One day, just like Ecclesiastes spoke, says, nobody remember you. And he was praying. He said, God, give me the wisdom how to number my days. Just like as somebody has a precious thing, every single one is so precious. Do you know, do you believe every single day like today? You only live, you and I only live once on today. Once it's gone, it's gone. And those days have numbers. He said, God give me wisdom how to number my day. And then secondly, you know what he prayed? He prayed that, if God, please establish the work of my hands. Lord, establish the work. Consolidate it. Keep what I have been doing. At Ehud's departure, I heard many times say, why? Yesterday, during the service, the speaker also said, why? You know, I, as a pastor for so many years, I have learned a lesson. Sometimes there was no right answer. When disaster struck, we cannot face it with reasoning, but by faith. I served in an orphanage after I finished my seminary. And I think I shared with you that in the middle of the night, the orphanage collapsed, killing 15 kids and one of my dear coworkers. A lady who was a high school teacher, loved the Lord so much, left Hong Kong and her high-paid job, came to Vietnam to take care of the orphans. I picked her up from the airport on the same day, 3 months later, exactly 3 months later, that night, she was killed. I was sleeping when the whole building collapsed. It was the dog barking. Woke me up and I went outside of the balcony and the whole thing collapsed on me. That night, I was sent to a hospital. And the next morning when I woke up, my pastor was peeling an orange for me. You know, at that time, we have great fear about pastors. Every time, you know, when I talk to pastors, oh, I will never sit next to them. But that morning, I was shocked. He was sitting next to my bed in the hospital, was peeling orange to me, and peed out and put it in my mouth. And I asked him, I said, how are the kids? How's my coworker, Miss Long? It was the lady who came from Hong Kong. He said the 15 orphans were killed. I said, how about Miss Long? He said, she went back to her Lord as well. You know, I couldn't accept it. I said, God, if you want to take life, take mine. Because I never experienced what a lot of people, I never experienced a peaceful childhood. I left home when I was little. If I die, nobody care. But she, I said, Pastor, I remember what she said. She said, if she, her hope in her life is for her parents, her younger brother, who are not Christians, to accept Christ. She said, I would pay anything for that. Now she died. How can we explain to the non-Christian parents and her brother that our God is God, is a living God? How can we? The pastor said, Calvin, I have no answer. I don't know. We have to accept by faith. God never make mistakes. I said, no, this time he did make a mistake. So after the service, her ashes were brought back to Hong Kong, and it was a memorial service. So I couldn't go. I was in hospital in Vietnam. We couldn't leave the country. So my pastor went to Hong Kong and came back. So first thing I saw him say, now, how did you face the parents? He said, Calvin, I tell you, I saw miracles. It was packed thousands and thousands of people for that memorial service, and her parents and the younger brother stood up and accept Christ as their savior. And there were 12, 13 young people stood up. They said, we will carry the torch. Our sister is gone. We will continue. And 2 years ago, I went to Canada, Montreal. I saw a missionary. She and her husband went to Africa, ministered to the Africans, lived in their poor village, stayed with them. Their kids were born in African villages. She spent 30, 40 years over there, and she came back in retirement. I visited her. And during our conversation, she let me know one thing. I was shocked. She said, do you know Miss Long, the one who died in the orphanage? I said, yes, I was there. I said, oh, you were there. Do you know, I was one of the young people stood up in her memorial service that you dedicate my life to serve him. She changed my life. You know, during Eho's memorial service, and this thing came back to me. That's like in John, in the Gospel of John, it says, one of the crop that drop on the floor and die and will bear many fruits. I believe God is in control. We don't know why, but through faith we know he is in control. I pray that many of you, one day when I come back, I will see that, you know, we live a life that is pleasing God, and we can carry a torch to serve him wherever we are. Our days are fast. Brothers and sisters, I don't know how long you and I can be together, but I know one thing, in eternity we'll be together forever. And all the answers, all the questions will be answered by that time, but as we are living on here, may he lead our lives to live a life that is, have something left forever into eternity. Our God, he is God. We have to admit that. Thank you. God's always God. During the sunny days, during the rainy days, he's still there. And you know what? It's so wonderful. He's willing to give us a chance to continue to live for him. Every single day it counts. You only live one day, only once. So may he help you and me, remind us, live the day for his glory. And one day we'll see the one we hold left before us together in same praises. Our God is wonderful God. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you because you are God. As we live on this earth, we know that things can happen. We know that whatever we can, we work so hard for, and the one we love so much, can be gone in a thing in one day. But we thank you, Lord. You are always there. We will never lose you. You are our God. So Father, we pray that you give us, you help us how to number our days so can we can live a life that's pleasing you. May one day when we see you face to face, we realize that as we live on earth, our lives can have some fruits for your glory, fruits that we can bring into eternity. Thank you, Lord. Answer our prayer. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Please stand for the song.